May it please the court. My name is Nicole Sanchez. I represent the appellant Ramiro Mencia Ibarra. There are two issues before the court today. The first being whether the lower court erred in finding that there was probable cause.
Speaking to the microphone.
Yes. Can I lower it? The first being whether the lower court erred in finding that there was probable cause for the arrest of Mr. Mencia Ibarra. The second being whether the lower court erred in denying him safety valve relief under the sentencing guidelines.
You can divide your time as you like. I can only speak for myself. To me, the bigger issue is this: whether the district court clearly erred in refusing to apply the two-level reduction.
Okay.
And it did seem to me that in at least one respect, the district court relied on an agent's testimony who had no basis for that testimony. But the problem for me was this. It appeared to me that an additional ground for denying the reduction would have been that your client wasn't truthful about the number of buys and that based on the quantity of drugs that were found and you know, the other evidence. At least for me, then the problem becomes deciphering the transcript here and figuring out exactly what it is that the district court said. I hope that's helpful to you.
Yes, Your Honor, thank you. So in the sentencing transcript, in the transcript of the sentencing hearing, which is document 128, tab 12, the court said on page 59, this is not about cooperation, this is about disclosure, because there were multiple points at which the government tried to say that because he was refusing to take additional steps to help them reach out to one of the sources that he referenced, that being Lefty, that he was not cooperating. So that was,
There were trial stipulations that he had 3 kilos, right?
Yes.
And he had said that he never bought more than one at a time, right?
Ricky Phan, Your Honor, the cooperating
yes.
co-defendant, he
yes.
did say that at one point. Also, Your Honor, the controlled text that were made by Ricky Phan along with Detective Capo requested 3 kilograms. And then during the motion to suppress hearing, Detective Capo said that Ricky Phan said that would have been within the norm. So that would be contradictory to the 1 kilo being the most that he ever purchased from Mr. Mencia Ibarra. As well as the fact that right after he said that it was 1 kilo at most that he ever sold him, mm-hmm. when they looked into the wall, they found 3 kilos.
Right.
And he said that was what was brought this morning, that being May 15th.
And that your client had delivered every 4 to 5 days?
Correct, yes. And having said the 4 to 5 days being the timeline at which he would come back.
Well, if you credit all that testimony, then it would suggest that your client had not been truthful.
If you credit all that testimony, I agree, Your Honor.
Mm-hmm.
Why
yes.
should we not credit the 4 to 5 days testimony?
Because there was a poll camera set up outside by the Pasco County Sheriff's Office that was recording the house from March to May.
Mm-hmm.
And they had recordings of that poll camera. And as soon as Ricky Phan said every 4 to 5 days, Benny, being Mr. Mencia Ibarra, would come and deliver, they could have corroborated that by viewing the footage.
But you're not saying that the footage showed that he did not. You're just saying they failed to show what the footage, whether the footage corroborated that testimony.
Yes, Your Honor.
Yeah.
Because I thought the footage showed that the first delivery had been on May the, like starting looking at March, the first one was May 15th or 16th.
Right, so I agree with that. May 15th was the first time they ever affirmatively stated that they saw the white van with the Georgia tag. I believe that it can be inferred by the fact that they never mentioned it beforehand and by the fact that they knew since March that the source was coming from Georgia, And the first time that they approached Mr. Fan with having seen the white van with the Georgia plate was on May 15th. And they were constantly monitoring it.
But we don't have in the record all that footage to tell us one way or another what it shows.
I don't believe we have all the footage, Your Honor. I know we have photos, screenshots that were introduced at the motion to suppress hearing as exhibits. And Your Honor, on page 62 of the hearing transcript from the sentencing, the court said that there's a basis to conclude that he made more than two trips he's willing to concede. So it is what the court is saying. I believe that was the basis for the denial. But in the pre-sentence report, investigation report itself, number 11, which this is Doc 97, tab 15, where it says that he, being Ricky Fan, said that Benny came that day and delivered 1 kilogram of methamphetamine. The very next number, 12, he says that the kilograms that were found were from that day. And on page 61 of the sentencing hearing transcript, the court said he attributed findings of Ricky Fan's testimony to be credible as to the amounts, but it's contradicted by the...
So you're saying that he only made two trips?
Correct. No, there's no evidence to contradict that in the record, I believe.
Unless we discredit the testimony of Fan.
I think Fan's testimony itself changed. I think it evolved because when he was confronted with facts that were inconsistent with what was being found with the actual physical evidence, he changed his story. So he did say at first it was only 1 kilogram at a time. And then when they went in and found the three, he said that was from that day.
Is that a credibility finding by the district judge or a sufficiency of the evidence problem?
Well, Your Honor, on page 2 of the transcript, the court did say that Mr. Mencia Ibarra made a sufficient showing of eligibility, but that it was rebutted by the government's evidence. So I believe it is a credibility finding.
Based upon Fan's testimony?
Correct.
So that's what the judge saw him testify, heard him, and made a determination.
As to credibility, yes. But I don't believe the issue was a sufficiency of the evidence because he did find that enough was presented initially. Thank you.
Oh, sure. And you could save those extra couple minutes if you need them.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Sure. Mr. Scholl?
Good morning, Your Honor. It's Peter Scholl on behalf of the United States. I will turn my attention immediately to the safety valve issue.
It seemed to me that on one hand, what part of, you know, the district court relied on this agent's testimony where the agent really had no basis for it. But then when we get to the issue about the truthfulness of Mr. Ibarra, the record's a bit ambiguous about what the district court was saying.
Sure. And I can address that. The record on this point was muddled.
Yeah.
And that, frankly, it was part of the court's basis for making its decision as it did. Initially, the court acknowledged that there was, made the statement that there was, that Mencia had prevailed to provide complete information about at least one of the people he had given information about, and that there was a basis in the record to find that he had made more than two trips. But ultimately, and the record supports that, and I can go through that evidence, but ultimately the court determined that Mencia had failed to satisfy the tell-all provision because the hearing had painted a muddled factual picture. The court really wasn't sure what to make of the facts, and the evidence was in equipoise. And if the evidence is in equipoise, the party that has the burden of proof just can't prevail. And under those circumstances, the court could not have clearly erred in concluding that Mancia had not established this burden of proof. And of course, Mancia did have the burden of proof by a preponderance of the evidence on the safety valve issue. And under the circumstances, the court didn't clearly err in resolving that issue as it did. As I said, the United States presented evidence that Mancia had failed to satisfy the tell-all provision in that he incorrectly claimed to have made only two deliveries, and he refused to provide complete information about at least one of the people he had talked about. As to the number of deliveries, the United States presented evidence that Fan had said that Mancia had made at least two deliveries before the delivery he made on May 24th. So that would have been at least three deliveries, and he was claiming to have made only two. And you can find that testimony in the sentencing transcript on pages 20 and 21, 32 and 33, 46 through 48, and 57 through 58. The United States also presented evidence that Fan had told the agents that Mancia had made deliveries every 4 or 5 days. That testimony is on PSR paragraph 11, and then again in the sentencing transcript on pages 22 and 57. And Fan wouldn't have said that Mancia had made deliveries every 4 or 5 days if Mancia had made only two trips. Now, in counsel's brief and this morning, counsel talks about the discrepancy in paragraphs 11 and 12 of the PSR regarding where the meth came from that was in the house on May 15th. PSR paragraph 11 says the source had delivered one, that Fan had said that the source had delivered 1 kilo. PSR 12 says that Fan had said that the source had delivered all 3 kilos. Mancia never made that objection about that discrepancy during the sentencing hearing, so the United States never had an opportunity to try and clarify that. But the key point is, apart from any discrepancies in those two paragraphs, as I just discussed, Fan's statements about his source and that he had made deliveries every 4 or 5 days and had made more than two deliveries provide ample support for the court's finding on that point, regardless of the discrepancy, which had not been objected to in paragraphs 11 and 12. With respect to the failure to provide complete information about the drug traffickers that he had identified, again, the United States presented evidence that he had failed to provide sufficient evidence on that point.
Evidence?
The testimony of the agent on pages 17, 20, 31, 34 to 35, 48 and 57 through 58.
It was more of a belief, was it?
Well, first of all, my understanding of the evidence, Your Honor, was that the agent had participated in the safety valve, the agent who testified at the hearing, had participated in the safety valve debriefing that occurred on the morning of sentencing when the district court continued the sentencing so the parties could do some further investigation.
He didn't know the name of the person, allegedly, that the defendant didn't want to cooperate against. He took no notes about the interview, when informed about it by another unknown agent. He did not know which co-conspirator's phone number had been provided, nor whether anyone answered the call. I mean, there's nothing here.
Well, factually, I'd agree with Your Honor in terms of the way Your Honor described what his testimony was. But the bottom line is, hearsay is acceptable at sentencing. And the court can
yeah, hearsay, can, but it still has to be based on some kind of personal
understood,
knowledge.
Understood, and I understand that. But I would refer the court to the fact that even if the court,
surely we haven't so relaxed the rules of evidence for sentencing that a witness can testify about about which they have no personal knowledge.
No, but even if this court were to completely set aside the extent to which the agent testified about the inability or the failure to provide complete information about at least one of the people who was identified, you still have the very, very clear, very, very supported testimony regarding what Fan had said, regarding the fact that trips were made by Mancia every 4 or 5 days, and the fact that there was at least two trips prior to the date of arrest in which he had made trips. So he's at a minimum failing to come clean about his complete role in the
I mean, situation. I'm just flabbergasted by what the government put on in support of, you know, the first issue. I mean, the trips I understand, but the failure to cooperate, I mean, that's ridiculous.
No, I understand that, and also I think a lot of what came out on that came out on cross-examination rather than on the direct evidence. But again, that simply makes the court's point. I understand. And that's why I think it's so important to focus on the two trips, because that, you know, as a general proposition, the fact that he knew enough about the fan's drug trafficking operation to make an interstate drug run based solely on a single text, you know, that in and of itself shows that he was much more involved than he was willing to admit. And that sort of dovetails with and corroborates the denial of having made more than two trips. So keeping in mind the burden of proof initially and in the end being on the defendant, he really didn't present any additional evidence. He tried to poke holes in the United States evidence and arguments, but he didn't present any evidence of his own. And in resolving the safety valve issue, the court noted that there was evidence in the record to support the two points that the United States had been making. But ultimately, as I said when I stood up on this issue, the court ultimately really found that it didn't really know what to make of the facts, and that there was a muddled factual picture on this point, and that the evidence was in equipoise. And as I said at the beginning, if the evidence is in equipoise, the party with the burden of proof hasn't satisfied it. And the court made those findings on pages 62 and 63.
Is the equipoise as to each of the counts, as to each of the two sort of theories, or is it as to both theories together? So that if one theory drops off, is the evidence still in equipoise?
Well, I think that the evidence was much stronger. I'm just trying to flip through and get to that point. I think that the district court's frustration with the state of the record was directed more towards the failure to provide complete information about one of the individuals identified, rather than as to the number of trips. But when the court began making its comments, the court initially said, he's debriefed, but he has not provided information with respect to at least one of these two people, and there's a basis to conclude that he made more than the two trips. Then the court went on, talked about the facts, but ultimately got down to the point in expressing frustration with the state of the record. Said, you know, I think the evidence is in equipoise and that the defendant has not satisfied the requirements for safety valve. I don't know what to think. It's a muddled factual picture as a matter of fact, so I am not persuaded that the safety valve should apply. And obviously, I can't disagree with Judge Pryor with respect to the state of the record on this issue. And it was muddled, but to the extent that it's muddled, ultimately, if it doesn't clearly establish by preponderance of the evidence that the defendant qualified for safety valve relief, that's really the end of the story in terms of this court's review of the district court's decision. Now, I was also planning to address the suppression issue.
Well, your adversary didn't address
it. Right, and so and to that extent, I would submit on the briefs and the comments this morning. Thank you, Your Honor.
Ms. Sanchez. Thank you,
Your Honor. Your Honors, as to the basis for which the lower court denied the safety valve relief, I agree that the record is not entirely clear, but I would propose to the court that it appeared based on some of the commentary by the court, such as, this is not about cooperation, this is about disclosure. He said that a few times in the record. I believe pages 59 and 61 is where the court mentioned that. And on page 2, he did say that.
It seemed to me that kind of hurts your position, because where the record is really muddled mm-hmm. is on the cooperation issue. If it's the truthfulness of the disclosure, then the fan's testimony is a problem that, you know, would support the district court's decision to deny the reduction. Am I wrong?
Your Honor, I believe that it was a misapplication of the safety valve, I guess, elements in determining whether it was a cooperation issue, because it was not a substantial assistance downward.
But if your client was not truthful,
Right.
That would be a basis for denying it, right? For denying
the
motion.
Yes. But, Your Honor, I guess our position is that there was nothing other than the evidence of Ricky Phan, which was contradictory in itself, that would go against the evidence, that, or not the evidence, but the statements that were put forth by Mr. Mencia Ibarra.
How do you construe the district court's comment that the evidence was equipoise? What did that apply to?
I believed it was as to the amount of trips that had been taken. Because on page 62, when the court was making its finding, he said there's a basis to conclude that he made more than the two trips he's willing to concede. And I just believe that the record shows that was based solely on Ricky Phan's statements, which were contradictory.
It seems like the district court then has credited that testimony, and we can't say it was clearly erroneous.
Your Honor, I don't believe that it was made clear. I do agree with the court, as I said initially, as to the fact that it wasn't very clear in the record what the basis was. I'm inferring, and I probably shouldn't have done so, but I do believe that the court did not set forth the reason that it found that the government had rebutted the prima facie showing by Mr. Mencia Ibarra.
So is it your position that if we agree with that, that what we ought to do is vacate and remand for the district court to make a better record?
Yes, Your Honor. Judge, I would just briefly mention that the motion to suppress issue, I know just what was mentioned during my initial argument. Could I apply just the credibility that we did talk about to that point?
You know, you've raised it in your brief. It's preserved. Okay. It wasn't addressed in your opening argument, okay. And I cut him off when he was going to respond to it. I told him, you know, we didn't talk about that. So
understood, Your Honor. All right.
In fairness, you know, he didn't address
it. Understood. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Ms. Sanchez. We are adjourned for the week. Thank you very much.